questionable and in some cases impossible for them to contract directly with a private nonprofit organization, private or nonprofit organization in the community for services when counties aren't willing to assume that responsibility or can't assume the responsibility for obvious reasons. This provides incentives for fee and other income generation at the local level. It also eliminates the current match arrangement for services which have been designated as basic services. We are no longer requiring the match, 50-50 match from the counties. So we are relieving the counties of the responsibility if they find themselves in a financial situation where they cannot provide those services from doing a 50-50 match for basic services. It's our hope that the counties will continue making that commitment, but for those that can't, the state now relieves them of that responsibility. The task force recommended this change for services to the mentally and emotionally disturbed because funds were targeted more directly to alternative services population because of the wide disparities and inequities in county match policies and because of the growing administrative complexity. The committee felt that it should apply to all service areas. That's mentally retarded, alcohol and drug, as opposed to only to the mentally ill programs. The portion of this bill essentially moves the state to a more block grant approach with accountability maintained through designation of services and priorities, telling the counties these are the priorities in terms of population, these are the priorities in terms of services you have to provide for those folks depending on the availability of dollars. Passage of this legislation will not affect the recommended budget for the Mental Health Division, which already anticipates substantial retargeting of funds to more serious populations. If you recall, there was a retargeting of about $1.3 million of basic service dollars to the chronically mentally ill. So it parallels what we did in the budget. And it also anticipates pilot projects using hospital resources obtained through ward closures to provide community-based services, such as Multnomah County or Marion County, and I think even Jackson County might be looking at for this biennium. I wish I could tell you in greater detail what the guts of this bill, but it's a different way of providing services, different focus, more flexibility, and it's a good bill.
Discussion of the motion on House Bill 2404.
Only to add that this is a re-emphasis on alternatives to hospital care at Salem or somewhere else. Although the committee added some other things to it, basically mental health wants to say, let's take care of them locally. We can take care of them locally cheaper. Let's stop the revolving door that runs back and forth to the hospital, and that we will fund out at that local level, which we have not done before, try to keep them out there. Maybe the bill has gone too far in saying that we're going to include all sorts of things, but I think that the department's going to emphasize those that would be coming up to the hospitals as much as possible. However, because I don't think there'll be enough money to go around for everything that they've included in this, but knowing how some of the committees operate up here, we would have everything from toothaches to whatever you want to put into mental health that they put it in there. But the basic idea is to keep these people in the local community if you can and stop that. We're going around in a circle back and forth.
I understand that on page 1, line 7, it starts out subject to the availability of funds. And then on page 4, line 6, section 6, line 29, it says, within the limits of available funds, community mental health programs shall provide certain services in the following priority order. I'd like to know who's in charge of determining the availability of funds to meet those priorities. Is that to be the State Mental Health Division?
Right.
If we go by their budget, if I could just answer this part of it, if you go by the budget, they are going to take the revolving door people as their top priority. That's their total emphasis this time. So if they decide that, I'm sure that's the way the budget was drawn up, that this would be the part we would fully fund locally if possible. But I suppose in answering it, that it would really be the agency itself.
Mr. Chairman, if I can respond, if history tells us anything, and the past performance from the mental health division, it's very, very iffy and very ambiguous as far as what will happen. A community program that's struggling to get a alcohol treatment center or detoxification center, subject to that kind of language, may never get in business. If they make a determination whether or not they've got enough money, they've got $900,000 that they found here recently of 2145 alcohol money, and Newport can't get a facility opened up. That's under today's present situation, so how that's going to work, I don't know.
Does this seem to modify what the counties now think the county mental health program with state assistance would be? Does it shift the focus away? Does it shift the focus in some way?
For the mentally ill, it shifts the focus to the chronically mentally ill who become the population that keeps going in the institutions after a downturn for stabilization and medication, out of the institutions, back in the community without the proper resources, and after a certain period of time, back into the institutions. It does focus the attention to provide those kinds of services, which it may be daycare, not child daycare, but daycare activities, medication monitoring, employment, housing, whatever the needs are of that community to keep them out of the institutions. The answer to your question is yes, and as I said, that also parallels the focus in our budget, where we identified $1.3 million of the basic service community mental health dollars for the chronically mentally ill. Jack is absolutely right. People with less serious problems, but with problems, might be turned away from the county mental health clinics. That's one of the reasons that we agreed with the substantive committee to eliminate the county match, in the hopes that at least some of that money that's now used to match might be used somewhere else, or might enhance the programs. What we also did was any of the funds that the counties now could go after, such as the federal funds or gifts, grants, and contracts, would not be tapped. That'd be theirs to do what they wanted to provide the necessary services. So it gives them an incentive to go after some of those dollars available in the community to enhance those services that they now have.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
It also adds some additional burden and responsibility to the local government. And you can't get away from that, because there is a requirement that one will find in the bill in connection with contracting, that if a county declines to operate or contract a community health program, that the mental health division can go ahead and put it into place.
With the review of the county.
Well, but review, everybody knows what review means. It sure as hell doesn't say consent.
And they can contract directly with a tribal council for Native Americans as well.
Or with a council of alcoholism.
Right.
Contract correct.
Well, I'm thinking instances right here in this little area that surrounds the state's mental institution, and the number of facilities that are here to care for the people that come out, and the kind of contracting that can take place right here, and it's a concern to my county.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burbidge is right. That was one of the substantive policy decisions that the committee addressed very briefly, and took the advice of the substantive committee members and of the staff and to leave that alone. The issue in that whole discussion was, can a county reject a statewide program or a regional program because they don't want that program in their county? And it was felt that that's not appropriate because there are people who need to be taken care of in those counties, and some counties might not want any facilities, any programs for the retarded, mentally ill, or the alcohol and drug abuser. And these were statewide programs or regional programs that the state now will be able to contract with.
Or a county may not want any more.
More.
Where they've got lots now, like more than half what's in the state.
And the committee felt that that situation was taken care of with the Dorelli legislation a couple of years ago, where Marion County, for example, wouldn't have an overburden of programs because of the number of people coming out of the institutions from Marion County out into the community. We just decided we did not want to deal with it. The mental health division did not want their hands tied, and I think rightfully so, and we left that battle for 1984.
If there is no further discussion, the question is on House Bill 2404. There is.
All right, yes. I don't see funds available for the act, or appropriations per se. However, you did mention, and I wanted a clarification of what you meant by the statement that you made, Representative Katz, that alluded something to the effect that funds through the closure of wards. What did you have in mind by that?
As I said, this parallels the budget. There is no need for any additional appropriation of funds for the refocusing of the mental health, those programs, that we basic service programs. As far as the closure of wards, that was primarily the pilot projects that the emergency board will look at that are based primarily in the catchment areas of Damish and Oregon State Hospital. Those were the two that were interested in it. That would capture the savings of a closed ward where the institution agrees these people ought to be taken care of in a community as that population phases out. We're not closing the ward and just throwing everybody out, and provide those services planned out in the community. That's Multnomah County. This is for the chronically mentally ill. Multnomah County is interested in it. Washington and Clackamas are interested in it. Marion County, and I think Jackson. This is voluntary. Nobody's holding the gun to their heads. If they want to do it and they have a plan and it's been agreed to, we will be reviewing it. They can go. Those are the pilot projects. They were the crisis stabilization pilot projects.
I've been trying to sort out there's apparently a program of similar nature where apparently either the division or action of the budget committee has changed the pay of staff aides in such a way that the net result is a loss of funds to some of the group homes or activity centers that are trying to provide care. And was called to my attention yesterday, and I've not been able to figure out why there's going to be a loss of funds. But in my situation, I've been led to believe that there is a reduction in funds available for a home that was taking care of either mentally retarded or mentally and emotionally disturbed. And I was trying to sort out the answer to that question.
We didn't do anything in the budget, but they may be anticipating the what if list, the what if Congress screws up list, which would mean an additional $31 to $35 million cut, at which point we're getting into a no inflation increase for providers. There has been a slight reduction under the 10% cut list, from 8 to 11 to 8 and 7. provider inflation factor for the Department of Human Resources. And that's what they may be referring. It may get even worse, unfortunately, because we just don't have those dollars.
There was also a 5 cents an hour increase for the group homes that would be lost if it went to the what-if list and is possibly an eligible candidate on the 10% list.
That's the reference, I believe, Representative Van Vliet. That is a result of federal action?
No, that was purposely put in by our committee because we felt that the workers' wages in the group homes was exceedingly low in comparison to the type of work they were doing in the institutions.
So the issue then is they'll be paid more, brings about a greater cost to the group home, but receipts were going to be reduced about half of what the increased pay was, and that effect is the service to the patient or the client would be reduced. That was the scenario I was presented with.
I haven't heard that scenario, Senator.
It's going to get worse.
Is there further discussion? If not, the question arises on the...
Excuse me.
Representative Simpson.
Yeah, but just a question. I guess there was some bills, and I don't know who wants to answer this, but perhaps I can get an answer. There was at least one bill that I recall that had to do with a separation of mental health from drug and alcohol at the very start of the session. Now, I hear the mention of the counties that will be involved in the pilot project, but I don't hear any of the smaller counties being discussed. Now, I'm wondering, I'm trying to get back to simple basics and not fully understanding this, as the carrier of the measure indicated she did not. But what I'm wondering is, what effect will this have on a drug and alcohol, small county, their program as compared to the way it is being operated now? I guess my question, we wanted to get into it a little deeper, will they still be involved with the duplication of the managerial problems that I see in a lot of the in the mental health division in trying to get just simple help for drug and alcohol abuse in a small county? Is that too difficult, or have
there
I asked
be,
no. three questions? Or?
No, there will be no change as far as the issue of separating alcohol and drug from the bill. That's not included in the bill. There will be no change for any of the counties on alcohol and drug programs, with the exception that the state could contract directly with a council on alcoholism for some purposes, which would probably eliminate some of that duplication, I think. As far as the smaller counties wanting to get involved in the pilot project, that is purely voluntary. Any county that thinks that they can provide those services and has a plan developed for those services and identifies private or nonprofit organizations that can deliver those services will join the mental health division in presenting a plan. So we're just dealing with the counties where they see a major dollar savings and have the services and are willing to go ahead and experiment getting involved.
The only losses would be in 10% or what if list, then that's totally different from this bill.
Well, and the concise answer to his question is that there will be no reduction in the layers of government between the mental health division and your local government to get the alcohol money to your local government.
And very little of it.
Unless he directs, they could contract directly with the council.
If they want to, give it to him. If they don't want to, they won't.
Chairman, just one additional.
Representative Simpson.
Yes, it's Section 16. The county is responsible for the cost when state funds available, therefore, are exhausted. And I guess my question there would be, who will be responsible for exhausting these funds?
The county would spend the amount that had been allocated to them. The mental health division may indeed ask them to hire one of their loose or free psychiatrist as a part of the exhausting of the funds. But once the funds are exhausted, this legislation says that the care of the mentally ill person in the community remains the responsibility or is assumed as a responsibility by the county.
Once assumed.
If anyone disagrees with my response, they should tell me.
That's on emergency hold in this existing language.
Yeah. Well,
what he was referring
but
to.
I also threw in the idea that they could mandate the hiring of their psychiatrist with their money.
Not on a long-term basis, I think, only on a short.
It's in the amendments to the bill.
So what you are referring to is on the emergency hold, and that is the existing situation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still
further discussion.
The question you raised, I'm still troubled by the answer. The bill has no money, but alludes several cases to the point where funds are available or with insufficient funds or whatever. Having worked through the community, and you, Representative Katz, in your carrying of the measure, mentioned community corrections, or I think you referred to community corrections, and having had that budget, know exactly what can happen when we get into a budget shortfall. The major policy issue is made at that point when you decide you close a probation center or take care of the existing system. And I'm troubled by the constant presence of that scenario, and what does it really mean when you say within the funds available? Does that mean if there's a county-state kind of a match program and we're operating a facility or operating a program, and then we come to a 10% cut or a reduction in the budget, how do you intend that we deal with that?
The language on
do we have any control through the mental health budget, or are we committed by virtue of some program that a county gets into, and then we're stuck with having funding that, or told, well, we got 30 people will turn loose. What are you going to do with it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thorne, remember what the bill basically does is finally, after a long period of time, set down some definitions of what this program is about. It still goes back, as best I can understand, it would be still available funds. If the state is in a fiscal crisis, this is a decision that would be made within the mental health division of what they would allocate to this particular area. But what the bill does do is it gets the wagons not circled around Salem, but around the communities where you really should be a very strong advocate for the decentralization of that kind of a program.
I understand that, but what happens 2 years from now or 4 years from now when you've partially circled the wagons, as you refer to, and then you get attacked by no money?
We're attacked right now by no money.
I understand that, and we're safe now because we don't have money to give out, so we're setting up a model program, and we don't have anybody's ox to gore right now. But we made a decision in one subcommittee, rather than provide segregation building at the Oregon State Penitentiary and some other things, to put money into keeping four probation center programs operating, and that's a very tough, difficult decision to make. And I can guarantee at some point you'll have that decision before this committee, I assume, or somebody.
Right. The decision to be made will still be a joint decision between this committee and the mental health division.
The question, in a time of short funds, who controls the allocation of those resources? Who can obligate the state? This bill says the mental health division can obligate the state, but a community mental health program cannot obligate the state beyond the amount that has been allocated for that purpose through the mental health division. In other words, you choose one or the other, and this bill chooses the state as the control mechanism.
My statement is the presence of a program in a community ultimately will control us.
Yes.
I think we need to be aware of that. That's what's going to control us. We're not going to say to half a dozen counties that have programs that are operating, well, you better close yours down because we've got to tighten the mental health budget. And that's what we've faced with the corrections process.
When you run out of money, even for what you...
What I'm suggesting is that we have to be aware of the fact that, you know, you are starting new programs at some point, and you need to be prepared for which goes first. And I'm suggesting... I don't agree with that.
No, Senator Thorne, we are really not starting any new programs.
We're laying the groundwork, and I'll guarantee you there'll be some new programs at some point.
It's a re-emphasis with the available dollars that are in the budget.
I know that.
Okay, the reason the language based on the availability of funds is that we have outlined a whole slew of priority of services, and we understood, as the counties understood, it's impossible for them to do everything when they have a small pot, and there is a mechanism for them to decide what's the most important thing to do. As the pot shrinks, they will have to shrink their services just the way they're doing today, and just the way they will be doing in 81, 83. The focus of the services will have shifted. They may want to start new programs within the available dollars, but some of the old programs will have to disappear today.
We have the one distinguishing feature. On the state level, we have the police power of taxation, which is a little more bulletproof than the police power of taxation at the local level through the property tax, where you have voters that are going to vote no on budgets. And when that situation exists, what do we do?
That's a decision.
And as I say, this bill leaves the control of dollars for program at the mental health level, rather than allowing the county to obligate state funds for an additional expenditure beyond the contract or the allocated amount. That's about all that I would try to say in response to that.
We talked about a lot of issues. I'd like to go ahead and vote if there's no further discussion. 2404. Representative Katz's motion to the floor of the House as amended with the attached amendments. Call a roll.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Kerry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
No.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Riebel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Burbidge.
Aye.
Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Thorne.
No.
Robert.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. It is adopted.
I'm going to vote, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'm going to vote for this and support it because I do think it is a move in the right direction, even though there are some things that have a potential to be damaging to my county. And my county still contains or continues to have those reservations about that section that I referred to. But I will support the measure.
Further discussion. I understand there's a request from Subcommittee Chair Number 6 to return the Water Resources Board, I believe will be the second time back.
Yes.
To
that is correct.
Co-chairs want to honor that request, understanding that there's no objection to it. It'll be returned. And when would you have it back to us?
Very quickly. this is Friday. It will be back before this, before the full committee at our next full committee meeting, and that is a promise from the chairman. Yeah.
I think we should count on a full committee meeting Tuesday. Even if we don't have it, we ought to count
yes, sir.
On it. Then.
It will be back.
All right, it is ordered that that budget be returned to the subcommittee. We will adjourn this meeting after any announcements, and then we will immediately convene the meeting of the policy subcommittee. Announcements.
Mr. Chairman, do you want us to try to get some or all Senate members of the policy committee?
Mr.
We got, Mr. Chairman?
We don't meet till 10.
Mr. Chairman.
We've got announcements. Yes, we've got, we have reconsideration of the Fish and Wildlife Fee Bill up, in which case it might be good for some of the Senate members and Ways and Means to be there. My view is that whether you are for it or against it, you ought to vote against reconsideration so we don't have to vote again since it's passed, and that ought to be the...
You're absolutely not wrong.
Right.
That will be a meeting of the Salary Subcommittee.